They said, "Brother Danny, I invite somebody to come to church, and they said something real bad about our church, and I just, if people feel like that, I just ain't going to invite." Listen, Sears don't give up that easy. Sometimes Sears will try to get somebody to get one of their charge cards, and they might cuss them out and hang up on them. And the next person might get one just like that. So everybody don't feel like a few smart alecks do. Everybody don't have the same attitude as some do. You say, "Well, I think one person can cuss you out for our church, and the next 10 is thanking God for it." So don't let the devil use that on you to trick you. Matthew chapter 28, the Lord gave his disciples the Great Commission. Verse 19, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19. He said, "Go, go, 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 ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them," that's your converts, "to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, I want to take that word "go" tonight, and that's the main essential, is us to go in soul winning, being a blessing, getting people to come to church. The first two letters in gospel are go, G-O. The first two letters in God are go, G-O. And what I'd like to do this evening is take excuses that we use, me, you, all of us, from time to time, and try to give answers for them why we don't go and try to reach somebody for the Lord Jesus Christ. People use excuses. Church members use excuses. I do. My flesh can make up an excuse just like that. Why I shouldn't have to tell, you know, sometimes I should witness somebody, and something in me will say, "Oh, they're already saved. Or they probably already go to church. That person, they don't want to hear me. They don't want nothing to do with me." And that's usually just a low-down excuse. Isn't that right? And I stay under conviction about that. I get under conviction if I let somebody... I went in the store the other day, and I usually try to witness to the person that's running the store. Give them a track, or at least say, "God, Jesus loves you," or "The Lord's coming soon," or something like that. And I didn't do it. And I felt real bad about that, because I thought, I'll never see that person again. Probably never ever in this life. The least I could have done is put the thought in their mind that the Lord's coming back. And they'll remember. It don't cost nothing to do that. It's not going to kill us to do that. We shouldn't be shy and so bad about our witnessing. Now, I'm going to give you some excuses that we give. I give and you give. First one, people say, "We provide a church and we pay a preacher to preach on Sunday and let people come and be saved if they want to." A lot of people say that. They say, "Listen, people know where the church is." I know a preacher right here in town that says that. He says, "People know where the church is. We ain't going to go out and try to get them. Let them just come on up. They know the church building's right here." But I want to tell you something, brother. There's no church buildings in the New Testament. Church buildings weren't used till probably 100 years after the apostles were dead and gone. There wasn't no church building in the New Testament. Nowhere in the Scripture does God command sinners to come to church. Sinners ain't commanded to come to church. I can show you over and over where He commands the church to go to sinners. We can't go out there and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, good for nothing people hanging around our pool hall and everything like that. Why don't they get right with God?" The Lord didn't command them to come over here and join us. It commanded us to go get them. Sure did. Sure did. Like it or not, that's the way it is. It commanded the church to go where the sinners are. The jails, the hospital, the parks, the streets, highways and hedges, you know. That's where the Bible words it. Highways, hedges. That's down in the dark corners and down Old Bay Street. I mean, we used to go down to Atlanta and Charlotte and places like that. We'd go down in little streets and we was crazy, man. I mean, 18, 19, 20 years old, we'd walk down the darkest, meanest streets in Atlanta, giving tracts to everybody. It's one got killed. But the Lord would just take care of us and take care of us and take care of us. And you know what? I believe God is pleased when we'll get a burden and just go out and try to find some old sinner that nobody else cares about and quit making excuse of, "We've got a church and they know where it's at." The second one, people say this. People say, "Well, I try to live right, so my life will lead men to Christ." You ever heard anybody say that? I've heard people tell me that. They say, "Now, Brother Danny, I go out here and witness, but I try to live a good life that'll point people to Jesus." Now, I think they have a good motive in saying that. But I tell you again, that is not scriptural. You don't win people to the Lord just by your life. Your life and your lips are supposed to say the same thing. Now, if your lips say one thing, your life says something else, you're wrong. But if your life says one thing, your lips don't say it, you're wrong also. We're supposed to live the gospel with our life and talk it with our lips. Let me give you an example. Some people say, well, people see me being honest and being polite and paying my bills, and I don't cuss or I don't participate in any of the bad things here at my job, and so I'm being a good testimony to people. But I want to challenge you on that. I can show you people, lost people, that have a high a moral standard as any one of us. There's lost people that do not, would not tell a lie, would not steal a penny, give an honest day's work. Amen. There's lost people. They're not witnessing. They're not winning nobody the Lord. They're lost themselves. It's got to be more than just living a life in front of people. Our lips are supposed to talk it. You know, like a little Chinese say, well, I walkie, walkie, talkie, and I talkie, 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 walkie, walkie, and then I talkie, talkie, talkie. We're supposed to walkie, 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 and talkie, 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 brother. Our talkie and our walkie is supposed to be the same thing. What did I say? Whatever. That's what. Listen, you say, oh, I try to live right, right, my life is a lie. Your life might be a lie, but what's it going to point them to? Listen. Amen. Not cussing and paying your bills ain't what Jesus meant when he said, let your light shine. That ain't what he meant. Because lost people do that. Lost people do that. They ain't got no light. It's got to be something that's coming out of your mouth. Number three. Some people say this. While we pray and pray and pray for sinners to come, and that's my part, I just pray that they'll come and get saved. That's good. We need that. Lord knows we need Holy Ghost conviction prayed down. But God has appointed a way in which He chooses to save sinners. And that way is us going after them. We're to be fishers of men. One time he said, a preacher prayed one time. And a preacher prayed, oh Lord, send the Holy Spirit to convict and convert old so-and-so. And said at home in the newspaper. Said, send the Holy Spirit to go over and do what He done told me to do. And that's not right. Now, the Holy Spirit works, and the Holy Spirit must work for anybody to be converted. But we're not supposed to sit here and send the Holy Spirit to do what we're supposed to do. As we probably like me saying, our Lord, convert them. There ain't no use of me getting up there preaching. There is a use of me getting up here preaching. I'm commanded, preach the Word. What if I went home on Sunday and I said, ain't no use me going to church. I'll just pray that the Holy Spirit will convict them sinners and bring them to altar and save them. That ain't God's plan. It's plan for me to preach the Word, and then the Holy Spirit takes the Word and convicts the sinners and draws them to Jesus. It's our job to take the Word to them, then the Holy Spirit uses the Word and convicts them. And I want to say this, brother, the Word of God will still get the job done. You ain't going to improve on the Word of God. I don't care if it's a Muslim. I don't care if it's a Jehovah Witness. Somebody said, how do you witness to a Jehovah Witness? Same way as you do a drunk. The Word of God is what gets the job done. Any sinner's the same. Big sinners, little sinners, old sinners, young sinners. Use the same. How do you stick a bear the same way you stick a rat, man? Or the same sword. Whack him. Just whack him with it. That's what the Word of God does. Okay, I'm going to move on. Number four, they say, well, I'm prepared to lead somebody to the Lord, and if they ask me, I would be glad to tell them how to be saved. Well, that's good of you. That's better than some people. They wouldn't even do it if somebody asked them. But the problem is, God commanded us to go and get them. You'd be surprised people want to get saved and are afraid to ask. I've had people call my house, and I'd say hello, and I could just hear somebody like breathing or something, and hello, hello, and hang up. And find out later, somebody come to church or something, get right with God or something, they'd say, Danny, I called you the other night, but I was scared to talk. And I said, why was you scared? I don't know. They were embarrassed or they were afraid. People just ain't going to call you up and say, oh, can you tell me how to get saved? I mean, the last just won't let them do that. Once in a while. Well, I've had that happen maybe four or five times in 25 years of preaching. And you're just not going to have that happen very much. Once in a blue moon. It's already somebody people have been working on. But it's just, they're not, we're not supposed to just sit here and wait on them to come to us. We're supposed to go to them. Now, number five, our next excuse is, I think people should make their own decisions. We say, I don't, and that's what the world thinks. They think, don't go out here and push religion on people. Let them make their own decisions when they want to get saved. I read about a preacher one time that went soul winning. He won a 14-year-old boy to the Lord. And his 14-year-old boy got saved. And the dad came in and asked him. He said, why didn't you tell this boy about the Lord? He's 14 years old. And the dad said, well, I didn't know he was ready. And the boy said, yeah, I'm ready. I mean, he wanted to get saved. And the preacher said, why haven't you talked to your son about getting saved? He's 14 and he hadn't even been saved. So just now, why didn't you talk to him? And the man said, well, I just wanted him to make his own decisions about things like that. Can you imagine a 14-year-old living in your house, lost on his way to hell, and the parent saying, I just want him to make their own decision? Is he crazy? I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, Lord have mercy, I couldn't dare let one of my kids go to 14 years old without talking to them about their soul. I bet you didn't make his own decision about going to school. I bet he didn't let him make his own decision about brushing his teeth and going to the dentist and things like that. He goes, yes, you're going to school now. Get out and get on that school. What a hypocrite. If he gets to make up his own mind about choosing the Lord, he should get to make up his own mind about everything else. Amen? Come on now. Amen. Brother, kids, why do people act like that when it comes to church? How you don't let them make up their mind about anything else? Or you do. Or you choose for them everything else. But when it comes to church, say, well, I just believe they should choose for themselves. And I believe you ought to put it to them in a way they'll choose the right thing. At the right time. All right? Number six. Here's another excuse we use. People say, well, we're in the last days, preacher. Wickedness abounds. People just don't get saved no more like they used to. You know, if you're not careful, you'll get off on that. I've thought that before. I've got discouraged before. And thought, Lord, we're in the last days, and rock and roll's so bad, and the world's so bad, and TV's Hollywood's so bad. People just don't get saved no more like they used to. And if you're not careful, you'll start believing that. But listen, brother, the book says, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I don't care how bad this world gets, God's got more grace than the world's got sin. God's got more good than the world's got bad. He's got more forgiveness than we've got sins. Amen? Hallelujah, brother. We ought to shout about that. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. He's the same today as he ever has been. He's got power to match the hour. I'll tell you, I can prove that. You say, well, Brother Danny, people just ain't going to get saved now like they used to. You know what? If everybody in McDowell County thought that Jesus was going to come back tomorrow, there'd probably be 20,000 people saved tonight. Don't tell me people can't get saved. They can. They just don't feel no urgency. They don't feel no desperate need. And I'll tell you a lot of reasons why they don't feel no urgency, because we live around them day by day, and we live like there's nothing to worry about. And we act like there's nothing to worry about. But one of these days he's coming, and it'll be too late. People shouldn't. We are living in the last days. But buddy, I'll tell you what, we still have the same command. Go out and get them. Gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. Number seven. People say, most people already have their own church. And that's true. Most people, if you talk to most people, they'll say, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm Baptist, I'm this, I'm that. That's true. Most people have some kind of church affiliation somewhere in their background. That's especially in this part of the country. But you must remember Jesus died for Catholics. Jesus died for Methodists, Mormons, drunks, atheists. You know, they're all the same. Jesus died for Baptists. Amen? People say, it's impossible to win a Muslim. No, it's not. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Number eight. People say this, I'm busy with other work for the Lord. Boy, that's my excuse a lot of times. I'm just being honest now. I use that excuse. I've got so much to do. I've got studying to do. I've got books to read. I've got phone calls to make. I've got this. If you're too busy to tell a man about Jesus, you're too busy. You're not even in the will of God. People say, well, I got to do for the Lord. I just can't go tell a sinner about the Lord. Then you're out of God's will. Because you can't be in God's will and disobeying what God said. There is time to do what God said. If you're not careful, you'll be involved in auxiliary activities and youth groups and Sunday school classes and prayer meetings and Bible studies and church activities and this meeting and that meeting. You just say, I just don't have time to tell nobody about the Lord. The devil tricked you, brother. One preacher told old John R. Rice many years ago, and a fervent soul winner, you know, and a preacher told him one time, he said, now listen, if you want to do evangelistic work, fine. He said, personally, I'd just rather pastor and keep a small congregation and read many good books and spend time in my study and feed the sheep. And old Dr. Rice looked at him and said, son, there ain't nothing wrong with you that couldn't be fixed like any other drunk or liar or murderer. Just a trip to the altar is what you need. That's right, a trip to the altar. A preacher that says, I'm just going to stay in my study and read books and feed the sheep on Sunday, he just needs an old-fashioned trip to the altar. Amen? Amen. Well, a preacher will have warmth. A lot of times people ask me, they say, well, Brother Daniel, with you traveling and going like, isn't it hard for you to be ready to preach on Sunday? And I say, no, it's the opposite. Traveling helps me to be ready. Because see, like when I travel, I meet people and get to witness to people. You know what? I was in Ohio preaching back in February, I think, and this guy, I might have told y'all about this, was something else. They called me like at 1 o'clock in the evening. I was at a motel where I was staying, and they said, Brother Danny, you need to pray for this guy. So this guy is a businessman, and he is really messed up. Said he's thinking about just taking his own life. And I said, okay, I'll pray for him. And I pray for him. And they try. Somebody went and talked to him, and they got him to come to church that night. And that night I was preaching, I was telling a bunch of Bible stories, and I was telling one about the Apostle Paul when he's in jail, Paul and Silas, and the Philippian jailer, you know, when the jail doors open, and the jailer went out there and he's going to kill himself, and right before he killed himself like this, Paul said, hold it, you know, and stopped him there, and he came in there and he got saved. And I never even thought about that man being there, and he was there. And he's sitting about like on the fourth row right back right here. And he was a car dealer. And he had a suit, you know, and he's all dressed real nice and all. And you'd have never picked him out as a man that had them kind of problems. And come to find out, that evening he had a gun to his head. He had a gun to his head that evening. And the preacher got to him, talked to him, and said, why don't you come to church tonight? And he came. And that story, you know, I told about that guy getting ready to stab himself. And I said, he is that close to going to hell. And he heard Paul's voice. And that night I got to be Paul. And I hollered and said, hey, don't kill yourself. Everything's all right. And that guy got saved that night. And last I heard, he's still doing good. The Lord's still saving people. I told you, we got people in our church now that got saved just because we went out and got them last year at our fall program. I don't know. You know, I asked the Lord, I thought, Lord, what can I say to get people excited? What can I say? I think some of you just need to get, some of you young people, some of you girls especially, some of you young men. Now, let's just get in here tomorrow night. We got a great chance tomorrow night. How about everybody doing it? Let's all do it tomorrow night. So I'll come out here and just go get people. Come to church. You say, Brother Danny, they won't come. They introduced me to that girl right there. What's her name? Hey, I won't embarrass you. I'm sorry. See, raise your hand, Dustin. They led her to the Lord this evening, brought her to church tonight. Isn't that a blessing? She just got saved this evening. They brought her on to church. They introduced me to her a while ago. I forgot her name. Penelope? No, I'm sorry. But anyway, she just got saved and come to church this evening. What a blessing. Got initiated and done used her for an example tonight. Amen? Listen, you said they won't come. You're wrong. Some of them will. Last thing I'll say is number 9. Pete, we say this. I do not have a personality or talent. I've been waiting on you to say that. You say, well, Brother Danny, I just can't talk to people. I'm just not. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad you're just the person God wants. The person who thinks, yes, sir, I can do it. I'm God's ability. Hey, God ain't going to use that person. God's looking for people that say, hey, I just can't do it. God's looking for people like you. God can't use these people that think something. You know who God uses? People that know they're a nobody. People that realize they're a nothing. Buddy, when you realize you're a nothing, God can use you. If you think you're something, God can't use you. He wants to use you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, he said, not many noble, not many mighty. God don't use necessarily big shots. God uses people who will just say, Lord, I ain't much, but I'll go and tell somebody about Jesus if you'll help me. You say, well, Brother Denny, I have to work late every night and I have to... Yeah, but you work with somebody that don't go to church. You go to school with somebody that don't go to church. You live beside somebody who don't go to church. We got an opportunity of a lifetime. Maybe the last program ever before the rapture. I don't know. Maybe the last one ever. Let's go and try to do what we can. What I want to do tomorrow night is have a very, very special visitation tomorrow night. All the women that will, we're going to make you a phone caller and divide up with us. We probably got 150 families that you can call and just say, hey, we're calling from the church and we're going to tell you what we're going to be having. We're going to be having some videos on the second coming and signs of the times and the Columbine High School video. And I'm going to be showing some things on the countdown for the millennium. And Brother Danny's got charts and he's going to be showing you where we stand in history and where we are on God's calendar. And we're going to have a lot of singing and the camp meeting's coming up. Why don't y'all come Sunday morning? And I believe it'll work. I guarantee it. If you invite 30 people and two come, it's worth it. Ain't that right? It sure is. So I'm going to challenge everybody that will. Meet us here tomorrow morning at 10, tomorrow morning at 7, Saturday morning at 8:30. And let's get some people to come to church and let God's Word speak to them. All right? Let's bow for prayer.